Welcome to Native America Calling. From my home studio in Albuquerque, I'm Monica Brain. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say face masks are effective for reducing the spread of coronavirus. President-elect Joe Biden is calling for Americans to wear masks for the first 100 days of his term in office. But government mandates to wear masks are getting pushback by some who see it as an infringement on personal liberties. Today, we'll talk with experts about the scientific effectiveness and political realities of masks. We're back right after the news. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Two people were still missing Thursday in Haines, Alaska after landslides this week. KHNS reports four of six people thought to be missing have been accounted for. Emergency response is underway in the community. Landslides triggered by rain destroyed homes and displaced community members. Local groups are among those offering assistance. The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes is coordinating efforts with the Chilku Indian Association to provide food, clothing, and shelter, and have set up funding apps for donations. The state's also working to provide additional resources and assistance to Haines. The Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux Tribal Executive Board in Northeast Montana reinstated the tribe's suspended chairman following a December 3rd vote. Yellowstone Public Radio's Caitlin Nicholas reports.
During a special public board meeting, attorney Georgette Boggio read nine charges from the Tribal Executive Board against Chairman Floyd Azur, which led to his suspension on November 5th.
The chairman has acted to create division and violate his oath to serve the best interests of the tribes.
One of the charges was that Chairman Azur had refused to attend board meetings since August 24th, and another was that he inappropriately tried to maintain and pay for services from a close associate's construction company, BP Construction, even after the board entered into litigation with the same company for failing to provide services. During his response, Azur said the board was being, quote, unfair, and he denied all allegations, saying he was fulfilling his role as chairman.
Whether you guys like me or not, I don't care. That's not my job to be liked in this office, because I'm not here to make friends.
After hearing the charges in Azur's defense, seven of the 11 tribal executive board members voted to remove the chairman. Eight votes were required for Azur's removal. Emerson Young, one of the board members who voted to remove Azur, said the board and the chairman needed to be a united front moving forward.
It was hard working with you. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, let's be the better people and work for the best of this tribe. Move forward. Let's work as one.
When board member Patricia Ironcloud Runsthrough began urging Azur to retract critical opinion articles he had published about the board in the Fort Peck Journal, the chairman stood up, said the decision had already been made to reinstate him, and left before the board adjourned. The Tribal Executive Board will continue its ongoing litigation against BP Construction. Azur was reinstated as chairman immediately after the vote. I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
The Canadian government says it will not be able to keep its pledge to lift all long-term drinking water advisories in First Nations. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the government and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had promised to do so by March of 2021.
Indigenous Services Minister Mark Miller says he takes full responsibility for the broken promise. He also pledged to spend more than $1.5 billion to make sure that the work gets done. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had promised during the 2015 election campaign to end all long-term boil water advisories within 5 years. Miller acknowledged that the original plan was an ambitious one, adding that there were many reasons for the delay, but he renewed the government's pledge going forward.
For every community with a long-term drinking water advisory, there is a project team and an action plan in place to resolve it. What communities want is not an Ottawa-imposed deadline. It's a long-term commitment to access the clean water. For this, they need funding to support measures such as training and retention of qualified staff and support for the daily operations and maintenance activities, which is critical to ensuring the lasting effects of these investments.
Some First Nations have said a permanent fix for their communities could take years. So far, Ottawa has helped lift 97 long-term drinking water advisories in the past 5 years. More than 50 are still in place. But Miller says by the end of this month, the number left could shrink to 12. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Now, National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working across the nation to address the opioid crisis in tribal communities. Information and support at aaip.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, joining you today through Skype. In the state of New Mexico, where I live, everyone is required to use a mask in public spaces unless they're eating, drinking, or if a doctor says they don't have to wear one. It's a mild inconvenience. I do it because it's the law, but also because I want to reduce the risk of getting or spreading COVID-19. And health officials agree that masks help with that. Across the country, tribes, cities, and states have varying degrees of mandates for wearing masks in public. And a small but vocal sector of the population is pushing back in the form of protests and even lawsuits claiming infringement on individual freedoms. There's also been some confusion about the effectiveness of masks. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the infectious disease director at the National Institutes of Health, initially said there was no reason for Americans to wear masks. A month later, the CDC recommended that everyone wear a face covering in public. Today, we'll get the latest medical opinions about wearing masks, and we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. The phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. What do you think about mask mandates? What do you think about being required to wear a mask outside or inside? Everyone's opinion is welcome. 1-800-996-2848. Joining us now from Anchorage, Alaska is Rana Johnson. She's the primary care nurse director for the South Central Foundation, and she is of Athabascan and Aleutic descent. Welcome, Rana, to Native America Calling.
Thank you, Mona. Monica, happy to be here.
All right, so let's just start with some basics. Why are masks important?
Well, masks are pretty dang important because we know that COVID spreads through respiratory droplets, and those droplets travel through the air when you cough or sneeze or talk or sting or shout. And then these droplets can land in the mouths or noses of people who are near you, and then they breathe the droplets in. So that's why it's important, and even more important is COVID is sneaky. A lot of times people don't know that they're infected. There's some data out there that says even 20% of people who have COVID will never know that they have COVID. And we do not have the widespread testing availability in many areas. And so it's really, really critical to wear a mask, not for yourself, but for others. It's a community protection.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that, wearing it not just for yourself, but also for others. So initially, Dr. Fauci said he didn't think everyone needed to wear a mask. And I felt like part of the reason that he said that was at that time there was this run on toilet paper and a bunch of other supplies in the stores. And I kind of got the feeling that the suggestion was to prevent a run on masks, you know, that might be needed for medical professionals, but also that he wasn't 100% sure that it was like going to be spreading as much as it ended up spreading. What is your, you know, can you share a little bit about the medical profession making recommendations like this, saying things like, no, don't worry about wearing masks. And then, you know, a month later being like, wait, we have some new information.
Yeah. Rana? That was rough. I mean, I think that's really what happened in a nutshell is this is a very, very new virus. We've never seen it before. And unfortunately, you know, when it first came out, I think to try to minimize, you know, public panic because the science is so young and we didn't know anything really about it. And there was very, you know, light recommendations, everything was just kind of minimized. I also do think that that was part of the plan, too, was to, you know, reserve some of that personal protection equipment for the medical teams, because we did see that run on, you know, extra essentials. I think, unfortunately, that misstep and the fact that the science was so young and it came so slow and then it became very politicized, that there was a lot of mixed messaging that led to a lot of confusion. I think that as we've, you know, dealt with this now really in the U.S. since, you know, January, we're really seeing, especially now, our hospitals being completely overrun and overwhelmed by this virus, and we're realizing that it's much different than the flu, and it's much the sequelae, the after effects of even the virus are very long lasting, and we still don't know how long lasting, but we see people that may not have been needing oxygen before getting COVID being oxygen dependent now, and then there's talks about, you know, brain involvement, and what does it do as far as, you know, little kiddos that get affected? Is there long-lasting implications for that? So there's so much about COVID that we don't know, and it goes beyond the acute virus. So it's so very important to wear that mask.
Well, that's our conversation today. We're talking about masks and wearing them to prevent the spread or prevent getting COVID-19. What do you think about that? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Did your tribe put a mask mandate out? Does everyone have to wear a mask when they go outside of their home? How do you feel about that? Everybody's welcome to the conversation, 1-800-996-2848. We've been talking with Rana Johnson. She's a primary care nurse director for the South Central Foundation. And Rana, does it matter what kind of mask you wear?
It sure does. The one thing to be really super simple is you shouldn't be able to see light through it. The most effective masks are fabric or cloth. In the form of, you know, tightly woven fabric, such as cotton or cotton blends. They should be breathable, a couple layers. You know, there are surgical masks that are sent or sold for the public through, you know, various retail areas that are okay, that are, you know, deemed disposable or single-use masks. They're non-medical, but they're kind of mimic the medical style of masks. But the most important is how it fits and really that you can't see light through it. And also the valve masks, a lot of people, especially at first, wore those, but they're showing that those don't actually keep the virus in. And so those aren't probably a good plan.
Yeah, I've seen those before. They have like a little plastic, is it like a... I don't know, about the size of a quarter off on one side of the mask. And they look kind
it's
of
like
fancy and professional.
They do, but apparently the data is showing that they're not effective in holding that mask, that virus in.
Oh. Well, we're talking masks today, if you want to get in on the conversation. Where do you wear a mask? Do you wear it inside your own house, or do you wear it outside when you go to the store? Are you required to wear one? Call us and share, 1-800-996-2848. Let's take a call. We've got Melvin in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Hey there, Melvin. Nice to hear from you.
Good morning. You know, I've been at this for over 9 months wearing a mask. And I'm used to it now, but it's so important to wear it. You know, I'm so concerned about our Santee Healthcare Center that, you know, our healthcare workers, they've been at it for 10 months now. And they're getting wore down, and we just need less people going in with the virus, you know, because we've been hit pretty good, but not real hard, but we've had a few cases and we've lost people. But wearing that mask really, really is important. You know, we got that vaccine coming, and wearing a mask, we can bring down this numbers. You know, it's just scary to watch CNN where you see all these death tolls, how many's in the hospital. It's very scary. I hardly go to town. I don't go to the village anymore. I go into one of the bigger towns, but to the hospital for a doctor's appointment, but that's it. And my nephew, he goes shopping for me, you know, so we're trying to be protective, but wearing that mask is so important.
Well, Melvin, thank you so much for giving us a call. And, you know, we hope that you are safe out there. We really appreciate it. And, you know, Melvin is an elder, and it's one of the considerations when you're deciding whether or not to wear a mask is, do I want to protect my elders? We want to hear from you. What do you think about wearing masks, about the debate over wearing masks? Have you heard some medical advice that, or some maybe read an article or something like that that said that masks aren't as important? We want to hear about it. We've got a medical professional on the show today, and she can answer your questions. Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. Rana, we're just about to go to a break. What's the difference? What about these N95 masks? Are they a yes or a no?
Absolutely, they're a yes. They have been, for healthcare providers particularly, it's just a very dense mask that is well-fitting and holds the particulates out and protects the healthcare workers who are working directly with COVID-positive patients especially. So N95s, we could not be doing the work that we're doing without that.
All right. Well, if you want to weigh in on this conversation about masks, maybe you have some cute masks that someone in your family sewed for you. You want to call us and tell us about them. We'll take that call too. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. After the break, we're going to talk more about the controversy over masks.
A person who's living with someone who's contracted the coronavirus faces a number of safety concerns. Masks, gloves, and frequent hand washing only go so far. We'll talk about the risks and safety recommendations for people with COVID-19 in their homes. That's on the next Native America Calling.
During the holidays, ask your family members about their medical history. Knowing their medical history can help you make decisions for your medical care. Contact your local Indian healthcare provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Service.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. We're talking about wearing face masks today. How do you feel about tribal and state mandates that require you to wear a mask in public? Phone lines are open. We'd like to hear your opinion. All opinions are welcome. If you feel strongly that you shouldn't be required to wear a mask in public, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Phone lines are open. We're waiting to hear from you. We've got Rana Johnson with us. She's the primary care nurse director for the South Central Foundation, and she is of Athabascan and Aleutic descent. And Rana, before the break, we were talking about the kinds of masks, N95s, things like that. Let's talk about how you should wear a mask. So I'll admit that when I go out walking my dog in the woods and there's not a lot of people around, sometimes I let the mask sort of slip down over my nose just because it's just so, sometimes it just feels a little hot and stuffy. But as soon as I see a person, you know, I put the mask back up. But, you know, what are the problems with, you know, having it slip down over your nose?
Well, you know, I think what you're saying is completely reasonable. I think that, you know, masks can be tight and uncomfortable. And, you know, as a healthcare professional, I completely understand. I've spent a lot of time in surgical masks over my career. And, yeah, if given the choice, they're not fun to wear. But I think there's some things that you can do as far as when thinking about wearing your mask. It's important to cover your nose and your mouth. It is all the same tube. You know, droplets can be expelled through your nose just as easily as they can through your mouth. So it's important to cover that area. It's important to cover, have a snug fit. It doesn't need to be tight. But that, again, it's a high quality fabric. If you're out in the wilderness and you're not within, you know, a place where it's not illegal to be seen without it, or you're, you know, can maintain your physical distance from others, it's okay to be rolling around without a mask. But the minute that you're getting close to somebody, you know, at a minimum within 6 feet, that mask should be on your face.
All right. Let's take some calls. Again, if you want to get in on the conversation about masks, we're going to get into the debate about masks and how it's seeped into our politics. 1-800-996-2848. We've got Willie in Kotzebue, Alaska, tuned in on KOTZ. Hey there, Willie. Thanks so much for calling. What do you want to share?
Yeah, I'm very glad that the health people are taking care of us natives. We needed the most of hospitals, and the very important is to listen to them because wearing a mask is very important right now. No matter how much it costs, it just needs to be used. But otherwise, from there on, then wear your mask. And the other thing is that I want everybody to know, we live in a small houses in Alaska, but what we need the most, I got a house, a small house, but I got an air humidity, air cleaner inside my house to help me keep my house clean. And that I hope everybody understand what I'm trying to say. Okay, teku, Huyana.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that, Willie. It's nice to hear from you in Kotzebue. Rana, you're in Anchorage, and is there anything you want to share about particularly villages, village life, and masks?
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear from Willie. And what he's saying, again, the wisdom of our people is amazing. The intuition of our Native people is right on. I think the beauty is that we are community-minded, so we understand the importance of protecting ourselves as well as the people that we live with or work, come in contact with. Willie is absolutely right using those HEPA filters with the UV or humidifiers to kind of circulate air and keep that virus low or outside of the area that we're living is super, super important, especially in Alaska, where, you know, we have a very small population over a wide area, and we don't have the luxury of moving real sick people to another place very easily. And so Alaska in particular is very unique in kind of the way that we're managing COVID. So it's really super important. Our hospitals here, we have very, very few. I think there's 1,200 beds in the entire state, and we have 750,000 people. And so I think there might be 1,600, sorry. So quote me on that. But very few considering the
population. Still,
it's
not a lot. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not a lot. And so it's that much more important to be really thinking about each other and how to protect each other, especially our elders. I'm just seeing them just taken away from us way too soon, and it just breaks my heart.
Well, what kind of pushback, Rana, have you heard from folks about wearing masks and not wanting to wear them? I know that I think there's possibly been I know in Anchorage there was some protests about like opening up back up businesses and things like that. But I think there's also the mask debate going on there in Anchorage.
There absolutely has been. And to be quite honest with you, it makes me a little bit crazy. I'm a healthcare provider. I'm a nurse, but I'm also a nurse practitioner. So I actually still actively practice and work with our community's most vulnerable in some of the shelter clinics. And the argument that COVID doesn't affect me might be super solid for maybe 95% of that population, which is awesome. I'm so glad that some people cannot fathom the risk of this virus. But for that 5%, the damage and the fear and the real lifelong consequences of contracting this disease and a lot of times dying from it, especially with Indigenous population, it seems like, Native American and American Indian, Alaska Native people, they are completely that much more vulnerable to this virus for reasons that we're really, quite frankly, not that sure of, besides, access and the clear things that we know. But it becomes a very weak argument for somebody to talk about it's infringing on their beliefs and their freedoms when our population, when our neighbors, when our family members are being decimated by people who are being bottom line selfish. And so, again, I just implore you, wear that mask.
Strong words from our healthcare official on the line today. What do you think about that? 1-800-996-2848. I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us now from Rapid City, South Dakota, is Geraldine Church. She is the president and chief executive officer for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board, and she's Cheyenne River Sioux. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Geraldine.
Hi, Monica. Thanks for having me.
It's great to hear you. And first, let's just get an update. How are things going in Rapid City and in South Dakota in terms of the COVID-19 rates and Native folks?
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, we are making national news, unfortunately, not for the right reasons. The incident of COVID is pretty high across the Great Plains, but in particular, North Dakota and South Dakota have been extremely high. We're considered to be in the red zone by CDC standards. We see with the holidays approaching, we don't see that letting up anytime soon.
That's too bad. Geraldine, your organization recently issued a press release calling for mask mandates from state, tribal, and local governments. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, as we saw the numbers rising, we knew that wearing a mask could make a significant difference. You know, we start with the three W's: wash your hands, wear a mask, and watch your distance. But wearing a mask is so important, as your previous panelists stated, in terms of mitigating the transmission of the droplets. What people don't realize is they think that, I don't need to wear a mask because I'm not sick. Or if I see someone that's sick, I'm going to keep my distance. But what we know about COVID is that people can be asymptomatic. A lot of people can be asymptomatic. And what we also know is that especially in the days before someone has symptoms that is positive for COVID, that is when the viral load is the highest and people are very contagious. So masks can make a huge difference in just preventing that transmission. So as we saw the numbers rise, and we saw the efforts of our tribal leaders who have taken great measures to institute lockdowns, institute mask mandates, the virus doesn't know those boundaries, though, right? They don't know where the boundary for Cheyenne River or Ogallala Sioux Tribe begins and ends. And without other state and local entities also joining in on mask mandates, we're not going to mitigate this virus in the way that that will be effective.
Yeah, because South Dakota doesn't actually have a mask mandate. And can you speak a little bit about that and why you think that the governor has not issued one?
I think it's purely for political reasons. We're seeing, unfortunately, this virus become more and more politicized, maybe because of it was an election year. I don't know. But the science supports that many of the recommendations that are made by the CDC, that have made by Dr. Fauci and other public health officials, we know that there's some simple measures that can be taken to mitigate this virus. You know, one of the things that we hear about on the right is, you know, the impact of lockdowns on our economy. But if you have a high number of people that are sick, that's going to have a huge impact in the longer term. And what we know also is that if even 80% of people wore face mask, that would do more to reduce the spread of COVID than even a strict lockdown. So I don't understand as a health professional why there's this divide. It doesn't make sense because the science clearly errs on the side of the impact of wearing masks and the other guidance that we hear all the time, washing your hands and watching your distance.
Yeah, I wonder if it comes down to individuals feeling like it's about personal responsibility and being able to make those choices personally, whether or not to wear the mask, as opposed to having, you know, the government or Big Brother telling you what to do. If that's your opinion and you want to weigh in or you want to share it with us, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. We're talking with Geralyn Church. She's the president and chief executive officer for the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Health Board. Also, Rana Johnson is from the South. She's a nurse, and she's from the South Central Foundation. Rana, you want to weigh in on the politics behind this, why this has become what seems to me like a Republican and Democrat or conservative and liberal divide when it comes to mask mandates?
Yeah, I would just echo, you know, many of the things that Geralyn was saying. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that it's become politicized. And I get where it can be confusing to people who are really trying to get proper information when you have media who, you know, is kind of blowing up or romanticizing the drama of it all. We're not focusing on the science. We're focusing on opinion. And the science is very clear, and it's been, you know, building, and it's building rapidly. People are doing amazing jobs to get, using technology to really make a surprising and wonderful gains to get kind of ahead of this. Because, like Geralyn had said, you know, people whine around about their freedoms of wearing a mask or how it's going to decimate
the economy, but really, truly, if they would have just, you know, thought of their neighbor and had that community mind and that respect, a fundamental respect for others, we would have been, this would have been, we all would have been vacationing right now. It's just those holdouts who are saying it's me, 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 I, that is really, they're making the rest of us struggle, and they're going to continue to make the rest of us struggle. And that lockdown or that financial, you know, trouble is going to continue to go along with the healthcare costs that are associated. Somebody's going to pay for this, and it's going to be us. And so it just, it makes me crazy.
What about the idea that this is like personal responsibility, though, that each of us should be, you know, so we can all be trusted to make the right decision?
Yeah, I wish it were that easy. I feel like a lot of traditional people do have a lot of personal responsibility, and I think we carry that value with us. So it might be a little bit easier to manage culturally for some of us. But for some others, you know, they're just not getting it. That's just, they're feeling so violated, and they're feeling, you know, stripped of power. And if they can understand that power lies in them to make this huge change, maybe that would be helpful.
Well, hang on, Rana. I want to talk a little bit more about this. I also want to invite you into the conversation. If you want to weigh in on the mask debate, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. After the break, we're going to hear a little bit about public relations efforts to get people to wear masks. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Do you have a mask mandate in your tribe? How do you feel about it? 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working with tribal communities across the nation to address the opioid crisis. Breaking the cycle starts with preventing opioid misuse, treating opioid use disorder with medications and counseling, and recovery support during all phases of recovery. If you or a loved one is challenged by opioid use disorder, you can find additional information at aaip.org.
You're tuned in to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, joining you today through Skype from my home studio. And we're talking about masks and mask mandates requiring folks to wear masks when they go outside, go into public. What do you think? There's still time. 1-800-996-2848. Let's take a call. We've got John in Talpa, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, John. What do you want to share?
I'm 73 years old, and for the last 6 or so years, whenever I'm out in public during the winter, I would wear a mask. I would get those antiviral masks from Walgreens made by Cure-Aid. And I'd be the only one in the store, the only one in church, the only one on the bus wearing a mask, because I'm always encountering people in public who are sniffing and coughing and everything. And if I'm in church and someone in the pew behind me coughs, I just get up and move to another part of the assembly. But it just aggravated me that people would go out in public when they're sick like that and not be concerned about other people. And I'd see pictures of people in Japan and other places wearing masks in public and all, either because of the pollution or because they were sick. And then within a year, you know, everybody's wearing a mask, whether they're sick or not. To protect themselves, a lot of people, you know, but a bandana don't protect you that much, you know. It protects each other by subduing the droplets and all, but the fact that that they can keep the supply low like that and the demand high and charge $6 a piece for them or $15 a piece for the N95s and all is wrong. I think those masks, the good quality ones, should be available for everybody at a reasonable price.
Yeah, I hear you on that, John. Thank you so much for giving us a call. We really appreciate it. Rana, you know, John brought up an interesting thing. What about these bandanas? There's something called a neck gaiter that I see people wear all the time. Are those still, you know, better than nothing or, you know, ideal?
Yeah, I don't think they're ideal. I think that there is, again, I think there's, you know, there's a lot of places even on YouTube that will talk about folding the fabric and you can make a bandana into a mask. I think that's fine. But I think that, you know, the looseness of the way that they're fitting is probably the biggest barrier. And then a lot of times they condensate and they get wet and then they become ineffective as well. That's probably not ideal. I wanted to pull back too on those. We were talking about mask mandates a little bit, and so I was just thinking in some ways, you know, the way that this has been politicized has been really unfortunate, because I feel like not having mask mandates nationally kind of minimizes the impact of this virus. It's just very confusing. And when we think about some of the mandates that we have in place, you know, nationwide for other people's protection, you know, you think about DWI or DUI laws, or you think about child or infant car seat laws. There's certain things that we already do just because we know it's the right thing to do. And so the fact, again, that people are just stuck on, you know, mask wearing as being an infringement of their basic fundamental rights, they're not looking at the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting conversation for sure, Rana, and one that's not going away, you know. I want to add another voice to the conversation. Joining us now from Oklahoma is Darren Brown. He's a senior content producer for Cheyenne and Arapaho TV, and Darren is Cochiti Pueblo and Choctaw. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Darren.
Hey, Monica, thanks for having me.
Hey, does Cheyenne and Arapaho have a mask mandate?
There actually is a mask mandate for when you're here working at the tribes. They're mandated that you wear a mask in every building, just because, I mean, just like all of the country, you know, numbers have gone up all over the place. And we're just a little west of Oklahoma City here. And numbers aren't going, you know, just up and up. And there's really no... it doesn't look like there's any leveling off. And you know, just I've been listening to your show here, and, you know, sadly, this has hit every tribe, and we're no different out here. We've lost a number of elders, you know, over the past 6, 7, 8 months. And generally, you know, like to the elder population. And but it's hitting all ages. And so, yeah, I mean, people know that we have to wear them here. And what we've done here at Cheyenne Arapaho TV, we have 5 people in our office, but a number of us, we were all furloughed. 2 of us came back in August to start producing COVID-19 PSAs that were run on our station and on social media. And you'd use one of my pictures the other day, and you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. One of the ideas that we've had is I wanted to, you know, everyone knows that the three or four things you have to do are wear masks and, you know, wash your hands a number of times and often, and keep your distance. And, you know, those are the 3 major things. And don't be around, you know, don't gather in huge numbers. But so I thought, why don't we do some PSAs where we have something printed on the masks, and the one in your picture is we've just got them back. It was a long time coming. You know, it just took a lot to get it done, but we have an equal number. We reprinted basically the Cheyenne version has the word is pa'e, and it's it means mask up in Cheyenne. I think the literal translation is something like a blindfold, or you know, with a lot of Indian languages, they don't translate to, you know, to the current day. The Arapaho version. Yeah, the Arapaho word is hachihit, which means cover your face.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, if you want to see, go to NativeAmericaCalling.com. You can see Darren in the Cheyenne mask that says mask up in Cheyenne. Well, Darren, is there a plan to maybe make it available so folks who are, you know, want to wear a mask wearing with Cheyenne on it or Arapaho on it can get a hold of it?
Yeah, we got those. We like I said, you know when you work for a tribe, you got to do the POs and then get a check request and all that. So we had to do all that before. You know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of hoops you got to jump through. So after all that, and then we got our masks. We had the shoots set up for next week. We're going to shoot. My plan was to shoot. 4 different ages, you know, kids, teens, adults, and elders, because every one of those ages wear a mask for different reasons, really, you know. So we're going to shoot a PSA with a bunch of kids next week and then some elders after that, I mean, or, you know, adults. And so we're going to distribute, you know, what we have to them. And after that, we will be able to the great thing is I was just going to order like 30 of them, you know, for our purposes. But then we said, you know, that it's obviously cheaper when you buy in bulk. And then it turns out that our language department said, hey, can we get on that? And Head Start did, and Child Care, and I think our higher ed. And so a number of programs inside our CNA education department bought masks as well. So we will have some available, you know, a limited number. Don't hit me all at once, well, you know. But yeah.
Well, I just love that. I just love that, Darren. It's really great too. And I think that every tribe should consider making masks that have, you know, wear a mask or mask up or something like that in their language, because, you know, this is a real opportunity to share where you stand on things and learn a little language in the process of it. We will have a link to Cheyenne and Arapaho TV on our website. And I want to say thank you so much to Darren for sharing with us. You can also go to the Cheyenne and Arapaho TV website to check out those PSAs once he gets them done next week. Before we leave today, I want to switch gears just a little bit and talk about health insurance. Right now, it's open enrollment period for health insurance. And to explain why that's important, we've got Chris Winterroad on the line. She's the Northeast Regional Coordinator of the State Health Insurance Assistance Medicare for the state of New Mexico's Aging and Long-Term Services Department. Chris, welcome back to Native America Calling.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so why is this time period important right now? Particularly when we're talking about deadlines.
Absolutely. This is the one time of year for most people who have Medicare. This is specifically for Medicare health insurance. So it would be elders over 65 or people who are disabled and have gotten on Medicare before the age of 65. When they can make changes to their health coverage. So if you have a prescription drug plan through Medicare, or if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, those plans can change year to year. They can change what drugs that they cover on their formulary, and they can change what providers are in their networks. So it's really important to pay attention if your plan has had any changes, and if you need to consider enrolling in a different plan, now's the time to do that. And the deadline is Monday, December 7th.
Right around the corner.
Every state has a state health insurance assistance program like the one that I work for here in New Mexico. It's not just a New Mexico thing. It's nationwide. Every state has a program like this to assist people in figuring out what their options are in terms of the Medicare plans, because it can be really confusing. And so we are here to help people sort out, you know, what their priorities are, what's important to them in their Medicare coverage, and then what plans are going to best suit their needs.
Here in New Mexico, you can get that assistance by calling 800-432-2080. We have counselors ready to help people find their new plan for 2021. And then if you're in a different state, if you're in Oklahoma, Arizona, Colorado, whatever state you're in, you can look up your state's state health insurance assistance program, because every state should have one.
Thank you for that, Chris. And just remind us, who qualifies for Medicare?
So now there's a can of worms here. So generally speaking, if once you turn 65, you're eligible for Medicare. The other way that people get on Medicare earlier than that is if you've been on disability for 2 years, then you get switched over from Medicaid, which is a state program, to Medicare, which is the federal program. So usually those are the kind of groups of people who are on Medicare. Now, Medicare open enrollment is not a time when you can enroll in Medicare for the first time. It's a time when, if you already have Medicare, you can change your plans. If you don't have Medicare yet, and there's a lot of people that I've worked with here in New Mexico who, you know, turned 65 and decided not to take Medicare Part B because they didn't want to pay the monthly premium for it. But, you know, now with the pandemic raging through our communities, people may have maybe in the position where they're thinking, maybe I do want to get that after all. If you want to sign up for Medicare Part B for the first time, that time starts in January. You have to do that in January. And again, your state's State Health Insurance Assistance Program, SHIP program, can help guide you through that process and also help you figure out how you might be able to get Part B for no cost to yourself, because there are programs that pay the premium on your behalf.
Yeah, right. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, because I think there's a lot of folks out there who may think that, you know, this is another thing I have to pay for, or you know, another hassle I have to deal with. And so could you speak a little bit about the importance of just at least looking into your options when it comes to Medicare?
Right. So for right now, the deadline, that's December 7th, the important thing is, if you already have Medicare, to check to make sure that your current plan is still going to work for you. It still covers any medications you take the way you need it to. And if you do need to make a change, that has to happen by December 7th. If you're looking into the reason, really, that it's important to at least think about enrolling in Medicare Part B if you're not already enrolled, is a lot based on the stresses to the Indian Health Services. You know, it's always underfunded. The IHS always has to fight for their money every year. And right now, with the way COVID has hit, particularly here in New Mexico and Arizona, those are the ones that I'm most familiar with in the Navajo Nation, the horrible toll that COVID has taken on those communities. And that's put a lot of stress on the resources of the Indian Health Services centers. If you have Medicare Part B, IHS can charge Medicare for your care. So it helps preserve resources in the system. It keeps more money available in the clinics and in the communities to be able to use to help people who don't have Medicare.
Absolutely. Well, Chris Winterode, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And we'll get a link. We have a link to her organization in New Mexico if you live in New Mexico and you want to reach out. Also, thanks to Ronna Johnson, Geraldyn Church, and Darren Brown for being on the show today. We're back on Monday with a conversation about how to stay safe when someone in your house comes down with COVID-19. I'm Monica Brain. Have a good weekend.
Yat e the holiday not a well jishiki not chin and on and what on jet a yet the adjacent out of speech which in a hot eggy punch bells and dolet. A quay yap at Kahoni Gregota, where Bahot or Yasiki, Nis Bells and dolet. A hot out a night the kiddo in great zed egypt, and died those kiddo, edo died patients the case of be egypt, healthcare.gov. Ajik Ahanegi 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native Teaching Aids, creators of Cards for Decolonization, is a company which collaborates with tribes to create games and apps which focus on language, culture, and history. Native Teaching Aids can assist in creating fun, engaging materials for your community based in effective teaching methods. All materials remain the intellectual property of the community, who then decides where and how they will be distributed. A portion of every sale is reinvested in further material development. More info and online store at nativeteachingaids.com, who support this show.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.